to consider.
Yeah,
and then no matter what, no matter, I mean, it was 31-24 was the final result. Right. They weren't going to, a 31 point, no, there's no way they could. Their defense was just too good to blow a lead that big. Yeah. And Cam Newton is good enough of a clock manager because he can
always, they run the ball.
Yeah, because they run the ball. So right. You knew the game wasn't in jeopardy at all. And that's the thing with Carolina. They always, if Denver's defense could hold Carolina's offense to limited points, and by that I mean field goals, not touchdowns.
Yeah.
Carolina's a great red zone team.
Oh, yeah.
They always get in absolutely the end zone. If Denver could just limit them to field goals and keep them with its...
Denver,
I think Denver. I think it's going to be a very close game.
Denver,
I think it will.
Denver cannot play from behind in this game.
No, because
no
Payne's not
chance.
You can't throw the ball deep. You can't throw
right.
it past 10 yards.
And Carolina with the lead is so dangerous.
And they're weak.
So dangerous.
Yeah, because Carolina's strong suit is the front seven, which is what,
oh, yeah.
that first 15 yards, arguably. Because anything past 15 yards, Carolina is susceptible, and the Broncos can't do that at all.
Yeah, no, what's funny is, I was hearing someone say the other day, you know, all of Peyton Manning's teams, even in Indianapolis, their defense, you know, his defense has never been as strong as it is now.
No.
But that's because Indy always built it as
offense.
A pass rushing. Well, no, a pass, yes.
Yeah, well,
you have
Freeney and Mathis.
Because
yeah.
they knew that they'd be playing with a lot of leads in the fourth quarter, and they needed those pass rushers to just put games away. They didn't need them to shut out teams.
Mm-hmm.
They knew Peyton was going to put up
yeah.
27, 30, 35 points every game. And it's kind of the same thing here in that they're built around their pass rush, and yet it's a different Peyton.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this, you know, that defense with the Peyton of old would be unstoppable. But
oh,
now,
I think they'd be an undefeated team. Honestly,
they might be. But it reinforces the fact that Denver can't play from behind because their defense, although they do stop the run well, they do everything well.
I mean,
but their defense is really best
yeah.
at playing from ahead
mm-hmm.
and getting, you know, letting Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware.
Well, just keeping them in the game.
Just
keep them in the game. That's it.
I think they got to play with a lead, to be honest with you. They can't let it be.
I think Cam's going to throw one pick, though. I'm going to say that.
He might, but how many times is Denver going to turn the ball over?
That's the thing. That's
if they
want
to win, it better be
that's
zero.
What we were saying at the beginning. Denver
yeah.
can't turn the football over because Carolina scores after every turnover.
Yeah.
Every single turnover they get a point off of. At least three.
See, I mean, the beginning of this game is going to be so important for Denver. I think if
I
they
think
have
the
a
first
chance,
half's more important than the second half. In
yeah,
a lot of ways.
Yeah, because I mean, it could be over in the second half. Is the thing the Broncos are gonna? I think it's so important for them to get on the board early. Do you think? I mean, so much more emphasis I feel like has been put on the coin toss in like the last year or two. Do you think if you're the Broncos, you'd want to receive in this game?
No, you kick.
You kick?
Yeah,
you want
to
put the ball in Newton's hands, put it in, on your defense's back?
Yeah. I think when they did that to, well, not that they elected to do it against New England, but when Brady came out and they immediately forced a three and out,
yeah, I think it
gives
you
kind of set the tone just a little bit. Like, you know,
yeah,
you're not
yeah.
going to kind of
just march down the field.
Go through our defense like a hot knife through butter like they do through most defenses. So,
yeah.
I thought that was good for them, and it was even bigger when they scored a touchdown. You know, Peyton threw a touchdown on their first possession.
Yeah.
You can't really ask for a better start than that.
Is this going to be a really pro-Denver crowd? Obviously, geographically, it would seem so, but then again, Carolina, I don't know how passionate their fan base is. Maybe it's, we're never here. Like, everybody feels like they need to go to the Super Bowl. What do you think?
I mean, I think it's...
Seattle. It was like 80-20 Seattle, I heard,
right,
at that
Arizona,
Super Bowl. Yeah.
You never know. But obviously you think more Denver, A, because you have Peyton fans there.
That's true.
Because it's a lot of high NFL players, you know, in terms of, you know, what celebrities, analysts, writers, they'll all be there. And a lot of them are probably rooting for Peyton in a way because they know it's his last way out. And it's the better story if Peyton's winning on his last game of his career. And of all people, Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Plus, geographically, I mean, how far is a plane ride from Colorado to San Fran an hour?
Drive there. Let me
probably
look
drive
that up.
There in a few hours. Probably an hour plane ride.
Yeah, I definitely can't drive to.
And I don't even think Carolina has that great of a fan base. I think it's told they're not known for being a great fan base.
No, I mean they have the Panthers in Charlotte, and they have the Hornets, I guess. But I hear, I mean, they get no support. And then I've been to a Hurricanes game in Durham, and there aren't any. There's nobody there.
Yeah.
So I tend to agree with you. I think it'll be a pretty big pro-Bronco, pro-Peyton crowd. And that might be the difference as far as, you know, Cam hasn't really had to play on the road in these playoffs yet. So maybe that'll help out the Broncos' defense. As I will say, last week I think that had a huge effect on Brady on the snap count.
Yeah.
It was just... Von Miller knew it better than the Patriot offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
I'll let you do your station ID top of the hour, but I do have one more comment about that.
All right, so yeah, you're listening to WZBC Newton 90.3 FM. I'm Connor Hawley here with Anthony Iotti and Jake DiLorenzo bringing you Sports Saturday coverage. If you want to call in, 617-552-4686, 617-552-4686. We're talking Super Bowl. We're going to get into some BC football soon and a little BC basketball as they take on the number one ranked North Carolina Tar Heels this weekend in North Carolina. So, but back to what you were saying, Anthony.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned the impact of home field in that game against Denver. I'm wondering, because I've asked a couple Pats fans and have not gotten a satisfying answer, why didn't New England try to beat the Dolphins? Why? I don't get it.
It's Belichick's why.
I really do think a little bit of it was Belichick was like, with the way the Patriots played like the first 10 games in the season, I think he really thought that they were going to come out and play well against Denver. Even when you looked at the game against Denver when the Patriots had all the parts there, they were up by, what was it? I think it was, might have even been two touchdowns. I think it was maybe 10 points in the third quarter. And it took Chris Harper, who was cut from the team immediately and was returning punts because Danny Amendola and Julian Edelman were hurt, to muff a punt to really turn things around for the Broncos. So I think seeing that and what it took for the Broncos to beat them earlier in the season when they were really injured and beaten down, I think he thought, we can do this. We'll be able to go there. I don't think it's much a problem. And just how many injuries they took, I think he was really scared something was going to happen against the Dolphins.
I don't even think he thought Denver would win, honestly.
But
Denver wasn't heavily favored by that much against Pitt.
No, they weren't. But here's what.
But they didn't look that good either. I was shocked.
Pitt should have won that game.
Yeah, they should have. And not only that, Roethlisberger didn't have much trouble throwing the ball that game. Was my thing. They didn't get much pressure on him.
I think Pitt though would have beat New England if Pitt won that game.
You think they would have?
Because I think the way Big Ben was throwing the ball against Denver's defense without Antonio Brown.
Interesting.
And then
I don't know.
I think that would have happened. But
I think it's just...
That's way off.
It's tough to win in New England in the playoffs. And I think the Patriots, I really do think, and there were people who were talking about this, and there was
Kansas
a good...
Kansas City could have beat New England. It could have beat New England in a way.
Here's what I think.
You know how many dumb mistakes Andy Reid made in that game against New England?
But that, that's
many.
Part of it.
It's
that's
part
of the
it,
game. But I never felt... During that game, the Patriots moved the ball at will, I felt like, during that game. Even though they scored 27 points, it was like, for a while there, they were just playing really conservative because I felt like they were in total control.
They were totally in control, right. Here's the thing. Denver, I think, has the perfect roster and blueprint to beat the Patriots. The pass rush.
Agreed.
Only rushing three or four.
Pass rush is all you need to beat Brady.
You can sit eight or seven or eight back in coverage, and they're good cover guys. You know, Talib and
Ward. They were getting after Brady with three guys.
Right.
That's it. Just three guys were getting after Brady.
Yeah. Pittsburgh can't do that.
Yeah, well, the three guys was the thing, because the Patriots have, like, it really has been if you get pressure on Brady the last couple of years. But with Edelman and Amendola, they've really tried to like counter that with quick passes. And Brady has been unbelievable getting quick of the ball early. But when you're able to get past with three rushers, it's ridiculous.
They
like, you can't expect it.
They would have torn up Pittsburgh. Maybe Pittsburgh puts up 30 points, but New England would have put up 40. I really think that. I think in terms of teams that could have beaten New England in this postseason, obviously, hindsight helps, but Denver had the best shot.
Denver and
Kansas City had the second best.
Yeah,
because they defend the short pass well and they rush the passer.
I don't agree. That's just
all right.
Me,
that's fine.
That's
and
me.
You know who I think the other bigger threat would have been?
Yeah,
the Jets. If
I agree,
got all
I
the
agree.
Jets would, the Jets would have won all the way if they, well, they would have went to the championship. If they
I don't know
made
about
it.
That.
I agree with you on the Jets. I actually
should have beat them.
That was another thing. Belichick almost. If the Jets could get out of their own way against Buffalo, Belichick would have let them into the playoffs and maybe had to face them.
After that game when the Jets beat New England, I think they were both scared that they would. I think they were scared. Honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that both the Steelers and the Jets were scary opponents initially. Once I saw Big Ben go down and no Antonio Brown, I didn't think as much about the Steelers, especially since we beat them first game of the year. But I agree with you, the Jets, I thought that their defense, the way it's set up, I thought it was really good, and I thought if Fitzpatrick could play the way he did in Week 16 against the Patriots, I thought he'd be good enough to win on a Sanchez-like level, just manage the game, make the throws when you need to, but
the
really...
The Jets have a pass rush, that's the thing. Like, it's all about pass rush. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's but especially getting the three guys there, I think, is so important. Since you see one thing Brady's able to do, which makes it so hard to pass rush on him, especially at home, is just because he's able to do a hard cadence, change up the snap count. Mm-hmm. Patriots did none of that on Sunday. That's why they fired their... They fired their offensive line coach. And I hear from people who say that going into a road game, you practice like five different like snap counts. And going into that game, I think it was Matt Light, former Patriots offensive lineman, he said, I only count like two different types of snap counts, which is like unacceptable when you're going into that sort of environment in Denver. Yeah. So I really think if the Patriots line was in a different shape, it would have been a whole other game. But as you said, when you have three guys who are able to get at Brady quickly,
yep,
like you can't expect anything to happen from that.
And that just kind of feeds back into why New England didn't play for home field for me.
No,
I understand what you're saying about...
Oh, yeah, back to the Dolphins thing, yeah.
Because, well, here's the thing. Was Belichick a little bit overconfident? Maybe, but... It's not like he sat all his players. Brady played.
That's my thing. Is he had his?
They were just running the ball.
You're going to keep Brady on the field.
If Brady's going to play, play to win. If Brady's not going to play, or if you're not going to play to win, Brady should sit.
Well, this is my thing. Is that he had like his feet.
That's why I thought there was a little bit. You know,
he didn't know what he was doing. This is one of the first times I really don't think Belichick knew what he was doing. He had his feet in two different camps. He, on one hand, was like, I don't want Brady to get hurt. On the other hand, it's going to look really bad and I think super overconfident if I don't play Brady and settle for the two seed. So he put him in there, and Brady threw the ball fewer times in the first half than ever before.
Yeah,
I think he threw four or five times in the first half. And he still somehow basically got injured. I think it was an ankle sprain that he went away after a week or two.
Yeah.
But it was just really bizarre. I thought he should have either just rested all of them. You rest Gronk, you rest Brady, you rest Jamie Collins, Hightower, McCourty. Just sit them all. But he just didn't know what he was doing, I think, those last 2 weeks. But I also think he probably thought that they were just going
to
get it.
At that game, you have to play those guys, because then it would have been 3 weeks. Two full weeks without playing a football game.
I tend to agree with you. My thing is that
I think you have
this
to
team was so
no
battered.
What.
They lost. They had Edelman out. They had Lewis out. You can't afford to lose Brady or Gronk.
That's right.
Or else the Patriots were as good as done, regardless, really, I thought, of who they'd play in the playoffs. And the offensive line, they're on like their third or fourth left tackle of the season, which was unbelievable to watch. And they had Nate Solder out, and for most of the year, Josh Klein was out. I think that's who it was. And they were playing a rookie center. So it was just it was a tough situation to deal with. But I hardly have ever seen the Patriots limp into the playoffs than they did this year.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, they went 12-4, and they had everyone healthy in the playoffs beside the O-line. I think you were okay.
What?
I think you were okay.
Yeah, it's one of the things, it's hard to judge how much difference I think certain guys would have made. I really think if we had Deion Lewis, it would have made somewhat of a difference. But I think everybody's injured this time of year, so you can't make
excuses.
Well,
let me ask you this, being a Pats fan.
Yeah.
Did you agree with the 4th-and-1 call?
The 4th-and-1 call? I think
did
at the
you
time you had to
it.
Do it.
You
yeah,
did agree
I
agree. With it.
I think at the time you had to do it, you didn't know you were going to get the ball back. As bad as Denver's offense was, I think you're putting so much on your defense.
And it's 1 yard. You know, the whole playbook is open.
I just didn't like the call.
Me personally,
I hated the call.
The play action never works.
No.
On a 4th-and-1. Because the guy's going to, with Denver's D line, they're absolutely going to get to Brady by the time he comes up and is able to.
Yeah,
play.
Yeah. I thought it wasn't a good call
just
either.
Just don't do a play action. He was better off probably doing a jump screen. I mean, I don't know. Far 4th.
Gronk was playing out of his mind in that game. I figured you just throw the ball up to Gronk wherever he is, and he tries to catch it. Either that or 4th-and-1. I think it was a long one.
You don't do a play in action.
Anybody would kill you if you still tried the Brady QB sneak.
You don't do a play action on.
Yeah,
Denver.
No. And not only that, it was Edelman coming across the field, and he had to lob it over him. Way too much time.
You can't
do
that.
To it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially because that guy, it wasn't Gronk even throwing to on the play.
Yeah, I mean.
You're not even throwing to your biggest receiver on the play.
Yeah, the play calls that game were so bad. I thought that was one of McDaniel's worst games as an offensive coordinator. Just the running plays were terrible. They did a bunch of these stupid draws out of the backfield to James White and Steven Jackson, and it was like, you're not getting anywhere
with
that.
They were throwing to those guys a lot, too. White, especially.
White, I mean, he got some good reps during the season, and they like him on the wheel route, and you saw that, and he almost caught a touchdown pass.
Yeah, he did almost.
But I thought that's where, like, I thought the Deion Lewis would have been really made a difference, because he really mastered the shiftiness. Vereen.
If you think about it, it's a big loss in terms of free. Vereen was a great running back.
He was.
For that system, at least.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a smart player, but one thing he doesn't have that he has that Lewis doesn't have, he's incredible pass blocking.
For a little guy,
and I think that could have helped out a lot, is if you have a guy like Shane Vereen, and he can block a guy and then sort of break out for a short pass play. The Patriots have always, when they won their first Super Bowl, that's one of the good things they're at with Kevin Falk and J.R. Redmond. So
right.
So you did agree with the fourth and one.
I did agree with the fourth and one.
I did too.
I didn't personally.
Oh, you didn't?
Well, I'm a big fan of when you can get points, you get them. You don't
really
put that into chance.
Well,
because I say that same thing with baseball on bunt coverages. You go for the out. You don't take the chance of, all right, it's better, the risk reward. I don't take that personally.
Yeah.
That's just me, though.
We have
been talking about the Giant games or the Jet game. Going for a touchdown to seal the deal or a field goal. I go automatic points is what I go by.
Yeah.
In terms of my perspective.
No, that's one good philosophy. I don't mind that. As I said, it's just Denver's defense. The Pats weren't in the red zone that often. They had Gronk off the field sometimes, so you didn't know how much you were gonna get out of him. Which was so bizarre. I mean,
and you're not a Pats fan who's gonna blame Gostkowski for that game, are you?
No, I mean like obviously it's
you missed
ifs
it,
and
but
buffs
you had,
that were candies
in the
first and nuts.
Quarter,
yeah,
though. You had three other quarters to make up 1 point.
Right.
Yeah, and I looked
game.
Up. I think statistically, ESPN did a thing that Gostkowski's kick
it's
was
the best kicker in football.
Probably. Yeah, well, I mean, he's the best kicker in football, but doing like a chart of the game that was like only the 37th like most important play of the game after doing like an entire
analysis. It was in the first quarter.
You got a lot of football to
that's
play.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't blame 1 point.
That
in
being
the first
said
quarter.
As a fan, as soon as I saw that, like Patriots, like they got the turnover, they scored
the
a touchdown.
It's just not.
I just knew weird stuff happens in Denver to the Patriots. It's bizarre.
So what's Brady now? They're 2-7,
two
I think.
Two
in the playoffs.
2-7, 0-2 in the playoffs.
0-3
in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. But that 4th-and-1, I think, is interesting because Amendola, he had a great effort just to get it to 4th-and-1. Remember, he caught that ball.
Yeah.
It was like 6 yards short.
It would have been 4th-and-4, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He absolutely did the right thing. You fight for the yards. But had he been tackled there, there's no doubt in my mind Belichick kicks the field goal.
Yeah.
Because on 4th-and-1,
that's
Denver's
so got to
worry about the
yeah.
run,
mm-hmm.
Brady sneaking, and the pass. 4th-and-6, you know Brady's throwing, and they hadn't had much success with that.
That's interesting.
He absolutely would have kicked.
Yeah.
So it's just funny how what looked like a great hustle play from Amendola
actually
way,
it turned into
it
a great dilemma. Yeah,
turned
it
into
hurt
a dilemma.
Too much thinking after that point.
Yeah,
I agree. I agreed with it because I think New England hadn't gone down the field. They hadn't been able to put drives together. They were in that spot. They were going to need a touchdown no matter what. They were not going to beat them. They were down 8. They were not going to kick 3 field goals in the last 6 minutes. So
no,
that was just unfeasible, especially with Gostkowski for mm-hmm. some reason looking shaky. So they did the right thing. They had to have a touchdown at some point in the game. They're on about the 20 or 25, 4th-and-1.5. You go for it.
I really believe that.
They've just gotten
from
3rd and 13. They've got it all the way to 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2. I agreed with going for it.
Do you remember how much time was left in the game? Because I think
there was like
six and a half.
Oh,
when I remembered it, I thought
there
were two fourth down plays.
There was a good amount of time left in that game.
There were 4th-and-1, and then there was a 4th-and-3. I thought with like 4.5 minutes to play,
where they threw to Gronk in the end zone.
They got that.
They got the 4th-and-10 play with like under 2 minutes left. But then there was a 4th-and-3.
No, where they threw to Gronk, and he was triple teamed.
Weren't there 2-for-3 like? 3-for-4, 2-for-3 on 4th-down conversions.
Here are the 4th downs I remember. That 4th-and-1 we just talked about, missed. The next one, 2.5 minutes to go. I believe they threw one up to Gronk. He was triple-teamed. You know, he wanted a call and didn't get it.
Yeah.
They missed that one. That was when Denver took over again and immediately went 3-and-out. Belichick used his timeouts and the 2-minute warning. And then the next drive,
and the fourth and ten,
Gronk made the great catch, or Brady made the great throw.
Yeah.
And then another 4th down that they converted on the touchdown.
Yeah.
So I think they were 2-for-4 on 4th down. missing the first two and getting the last two, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Well, with 6.5 left, that's an interesting call since...
That's why I said kick the points, because there was a good amount of time left and Denver's offense wasn't...
Yeah, because I remembered it being actually less time and I thought it would have been a 3-and-out. I might kick the field goal in that situation.
That's the only reason why, because there was enough time left and for New England's defense to get a ball back easily on Denver.
And then they were on what? For that, they was in the red zone, was on the 15 or the 20 when that happened? Because that would have been, if it was inside the 20, I really am confident in Gostkowski's ability to get that.
He wasn't missing twice, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think so. He's really good in that respect.
Been, I think, at most of, what, 42-yarder?
Yeah.
It would have been less.
He would have been, I think, less.
Yeah, like it was that close.
I give him credit because he had to kick a 38 and a 47-yarder, and he nailed them.
He's money. Yeah,
so
that's why I went. That was my only one, because there was enough time left.
That was actually a good
New England's defense to easily get the ball back with Denver. The way Denver's off, wasn't doing anything that
game. I mean, I looked at an interesting stat there. Everybody's giving credit to the Broncos defense, and rightfully so, since I think it was on, the pressure was on the Patriots all day. But the Patriots had 20 first downs. Denver had 12. I thought that was an interesting stat.
Peyton did nothing that game.
He had the first drive of the game. That was about it. And then there was the interception by Brady, which was terrible. One of the worst throws I've ever seen in his playoff career.
Which one? The one with
Von Miller. I mean, it was just...
Really?
He was Gronk happy in that situation. It was just... he was just uncomfortable all game. But, like, those were free points, right? That was a free touchdown, as they gave Peyton the ball inside the 20.
Although, Peyton also gave it back and... The Patriots got a free touchdown inside the 20.
Yeah, with that. Yeah, that's true.
By the way,
I didn't think that was going to get called back.
I thought it was
going to
be too close.
I thought it was blading, honestly.
Really?
I thought on the field right there, that's a fumble.
If you're Ronnie Hillman, how do you not pick that ball up?
You always have to play the ball if it's live.
I give credit. Yeah.
How long have you been playing football for that you don't know how to pick that ball up?
Yeah.
You have to play it live. You have to play
it
live.
Even if you just pick it up and dive out of bounds or step out of bounds. Okay, you lost a couple yards. You pick up the ball.
You always play the ball live in case that ref didn't blow that whistle.
Yeah, and my thing also is that, what do you think about the rule, like... that, like, after the whistle's blown, that it's just where he picks it up. Because Fleming was just ran to the end zone there, thing. Is I don't know if that's something that needs to be changed.
I think refs shouldn't blow a whistle until it's evident the play is completely over.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
My opinion. How many times do you see it could hurt?
Well, I mean, you see that in a lot of situations. Like, I think with, like, a fumble or whatever, they'll always, like, they're taught
for a good
or interceptions that might have bounced,
or whatever. Yeah. They always tell the refs to, like, tend toward the play. Yeah, call the turnover, tend toward the play that is reviewable.
Right, it's automatically reviewed.
Exactly. Yeah. And in that situation, why would you blow the whistle when it was clear Fleming picked it up and he ran it into the end zone for a touchdown?
Right.
And instead, the Patriots have to take it back at the 15 or 20.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, luckily for the Patriots that they
scored. It didn't bite them in the butt, but I thought it was an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah. They only come up with three.
Yeah,
that would be
something.
We'd be talking
turnover.
About that now.
Yeah,
because
agreed.
That was the touchdown where they missed the extra point.
Yeah.
So if they had come up with three and that drive, then Gostkowski never misses.
It's
and
a lot of
a whole other discussion.
Yeah, it's true. There was a lot of just weird stuff to happen in that game.
It was a good game, though.
It was a very good game. I mean, that's one of the reasons.
Typical Denver Patriot.
Yeah,
game
I mean,
right
yeah, it, and I hated the Brady Manning thing. Since from the get go, I always thought this was Brady against Broncos defense for the most part.
No, because Manning's done. Like even this Super Bowl, there's going to be an asterisk to it because he's not Peyton of old.
Yeah,
that's not his career.
That being said, even being a Patriots fan, I see like how Peyton to this team is similar to what Brady was to that first Patriots team when the Patriots had an exceptional defense. Brady was in his first year.
01,
you had the Rams. Brady did play well, especially for a first-year quarterback. But in that game, the Patriots only scored one offensive touchdown, and the other touchdown they had was on an interception returned by Ty Law. So I see Peyton and Brady sort of similar in how they were to their teams in that respect. And even after that
Big Ben's first Super Bowl, too. He played horribly.
The
they were kind of built on their defense.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know. I see Peyton in a similar way to this team as Brady was to that team. I mean, after that first Super Bowl, I think some people still thought the Patriots were going to go back to Drew Bledsoe.
A lot of people could have argued that. That's why
they just signed him.
That's why I always say, Patriots fans, you guys should build a statue of Mo Lewis outside of Foxborough. Yeah.
Well, when I went,
Bledsoe was a good quarterback.
Very good. They signed him right before that year. They signed him to a 10-year, $103 million contract.
He was a great quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way Brady was going to play for another 5 years at least.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. And Brady, the year before, made the practice roster as a fourth string quarterback.
You guys deserve a bronze statue of Mo Lewis outside of Foxborough.
Yeah. Things could be so different. Even go back further. If Bill Parcells and those Patriots teams, if they had beaten Green Bay in that Super Bowl, maybe Parcells hangs around longer. I mean, everything could have been different.
You're right.
And if Belichick's not there, it's insane how things change.
Belichick is one of the only people, and his career was on the line with that move. If the Patriots don't win that Super Bowl, Belichick might not be where he is today. Because who makes that move? Your star quarterback's able to come back. You guys have won a few games. The Patriots at that point in the season were they started out 1-3, then they went 4-4, 5-4. They were in the playoff hunt, and they have the opportunity to bring Bledsoe back, and he sticks with Brady. If their season went to the crapper after that, he might have been gone.
Right. It's these coaches. I mean, as much credit and blame as we give to coaches, so much of their legacies depends on quarterbacks. It really does.
It's all about
players. To use an example that Jake and I are familiar with, if Eli Manning never develops the way he did, if let's say in that 07 postseason they come up short against Dallas, I mean, that's just the second round, and they certainly weren't favored.
Coughlin's
gone, and they, maybe.
The only reason why Coughlin stuck around for so long is because Mara loved him.
Right, and because he won that Super Bowl.
Well,
though.
I'm saying, but the fact is, Ernie Akosa never wanted to hire. Never wanted to hire Tom Coughlin first base. They didn't want to give him back, and then Wellington called back Tom and said, "I'm going to hire you," without telling anyone else.
That was really the last thing he did before he passed away.
Wellington didn't tell. Corsi, he didn't tell his son. He didn't tell Tish. He literally gave Coughlin the job under the table.
Think of also Manning, and I think one of the only reasons I think Tony Dungy was a good coach, he had Peyton Manning with him.
Right. Tony Dungy, I find an overrated coach. Personally.
Yeah, I agree because Peyton was gone, they went 2-14 the next year. One thing that Belichick will always have, I think, as a trump card is when Brady was out, the Pats still went 11-5.
That's the thing.
Matt Castle
and the other places he's gone around the league, and no disrespect to him because he's a backup quarterback for the most part. That should be the first thing on Belichick's Hall of Fame plaque. Coach Matt Castle in 11-5 season.
11
Are you kidding me?
11
yeah.
Five.
That's an incredible job.
Yeah.
He's a great coach, Bill Belichick.
With respect to Coughlin, he in my mind is the second best coach since the turn of the century,
I think
Belichick, you then have probably Coughlin's in the mix, then maybe Bill Cowher, I
always have an asterisk with Bill Cowher.
You do?
He's won one Super Bowl, and it was his last. How many years did he coach, honestly? At least a decade.
True. I'll find out.
And he won it on that last year in that Super Bowl against the Seahawks.
That was a terribly ref Super Bowl.
And he's rated as a great coach. Yeah. What? I think Sean Payton's
He's a good regular season coach, because then he had 2 years there where they were playing the Pats at home in the playoffs,
and he should have lost to the Jets that one year on Mike Nugent missing field goals that game.
Yeah.
He's
a good regular season coach. He's
Marvin
solid
Lewis,
for
like
the
Marvin
year.
Lewis.
Yeah.
That's why I always put an asterisk with
next
Bill
to Cowher.
Cowher.
Yeah.
Because of that one Super Bowl in that last year.
Well, here's Cowher. This is from Wikipedia. I'm going to assume it's a good source on this.
I mean, you got to put McCarthy probably up there as one of the better coaches of today.
Yeah.
There's a lot. Just because, he has Aaron Rodgers, though. That's
the thing. Exactly. It's all about the quarterback, I think it goes
to. I think Bruce Arians is a great coach, though.
Yeah.
That being said.
Cowher's 15 seasons, the Steelers won the division 8 times, 10 playoff appearances, 6 AFC championship games, and made 2 Super Bowls. But I can't remember. I mean, I remember when they won that Super Bowl. What other Super Bowl were they in with Cowher?
It's got to be something in the 90s. It's got to be something. Because not in the 2000s. And then with Big Ben.
Yeah, they made a couple AFC championship
games. Who did Favre be? Not against Favre, right?
No, I don't believe so. No, because Green Bay's Super Bowls were they beat New England, they lost to Elway in Denver.
Favre beat New England, right?
Favre beat New England, yeah. His only Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I don't know who Pitt lost to.
Niners
team? Maybe a Niners team? With Steve Young?
Perhaps.
Or a Cowboy team even?
Perhaps.
How long was Cowher the head coach there?
'05 was his last year, I think.
Yeah,
or 06.
He had 05 or 06. AFC champion in 1995. I think they would have lost to Dallas then. Yeah, there would have been an Aikman. Or maybe a San Fran.
That's the only two things I could think of are those two teams.
Yeah.
In those 90s periods.
So he was there from 92 to 06, 15 years. Winning percentage was .623.
Which is very good.
And in the playoffs, he was 12-9.
Which is very good. Great, but one Super Bowl still.
My thing is, I give him credit for, as if we talked about the importance of quarterbacks, is that
he never had a great quarter.
Like, he had Big Ben at the beginning of his career. But Big Ben wasn't really Big Ben, I think, when that happened. He brought Cordell Stewart to an AFC championship game with a one seed, which I thought was pretty impressive.
You can make that argument, yeah.
So, I feel like, but still, you know, we'll never know if you give him a guy like Brady or Eli or Peyton.
Was he an offensive guy or a defensive guy?
Cowher.
Yeah.
And they had some pretty good defenses
LeBeau was there forever.
What?
LeBeau was the coordinator all those years.
Yeah.
I mean, which I always found, I thought that hurt Pitt's defense when they let him go.
I have the answer. He was a defensive guy.
He was a defensive guy.
He churned out a lot of defensive guys, too, if you look at it.
Was LeBeau calling those plays all those years?
I don't know. All I can tell you is prior to being the Steelers head coach, Cowher was the Chiefs' defensive coordinator for 3 years. Before that, he was with the Browns' secondary coach.
Drafted pretty well with, you had Polamalu, Joey Porter, and all those guys. They were a very strong, scary defensive team. And looking at his coaching tree.
Have, like, two guys on defense.
In the Tomlin era, they've just been really good at drafting wide receivers. Like, they're unbelievable at scouting wide receivers. I think he's good.
I think he's such a good coach.
That is the reputation, and I don't want to take anything away from him, but really, they've had a lot of flame outs, too.
No, they have, but, I mean, he still has two Super Bowl appearances, and he's not even 45, maybe 45, the oldest.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he's a good coach.
I'm not saying he's not a good coach.
I think he is.
He still has stuff to prove, though, definitely.
But he's been there.
He's been there, what, like
9 years?
Yeah.
9 years, my God.
This would have been an unbelievable season if he was able to get over the Broncos and somehow managed to get by the Patriots. That would be a defiant.
They should have beat the Broncos. Toussaint had that worst fumble.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Pitt, I think, was going to score there. I didn't think Denver was scoring after that.
But I gave credit to Tomlin with the way that they fought through that Bengal game, especially late in the game with what they did with Big Ben, but I also think they did an unbelievable job, like, baiting the Bengals after the first personal foul penalty and really getting them all riled up, and, like, the dynamic really just changed in an instant after.
I just think Tomlin's a good coach. I think he manages the game very well.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he has.
I'm just going to play devil's advocate, though. He has one playoff win in 5 years, the last
and
5 years.
When they won the Super Bowl?
No, one playoff win. That would be this year against Cincinnati in a game that really they should have lost.
They had some.
Think of Tom Coughlin, though. He's had three terrible losing seasons in a row on his way out.
Yeah.
But in 9 years, six playoff wins?
Yeah.
For Tomlin? All right. Yeah, the Super Bowl, but it's not that many. It's not that many wins.
Yeah. Well, I think always, like, with new coaches, like, you see this with, you saw it with Belichick with the Browns. I think every new coach has a one place where they're going to, or a few years where they got to get their bearings as a head coach and learn how
they're. You have to give a coach a shot for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I always say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you got to give him a five year window.
Hugh Jackson
deserves to live out that contract in Cleveland and see what he can
Cleveland's
do.
Cleveland's not smart, though.
He went 8-8 with Oakland, and who was his quarterback that year?
I think it was Palmer. They were 8-8, but they started
Palmer with the Browns?
No,
Oakland. I gotcha.
That 1 year with Oakland. He had 1 year.
They went 8-8.
They were seven and four
and they fell apart at the end. They were 7-4.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, you gotta let Cleveland always makes that mistake. Let the coach ride it out.
Yeah.
You have to let a coach ride out and establish something. Let him pick players who he wants.
Yeah.
Especially Hugh Jackson being an offensive guy. Let him pick a quarterback or draft a quarterback within the next 2 or 3
years. Well, that's
why
I have problems with if you give a head coach a new contract and it's a 2 or 3 year deal. I feel like that shows so little faith, and it makes the coach think, especially if he's in control of personnel, that he's got to bring in guys immediately.
Yeah.
And that often isn't the strategy you want.
Well, the problem with Jackson in Oakland was that they actually made a GM change. Reggie McKenzie came in, And that's, you know, when the GM comes in, usually they want to hire their own guy, which is exactly what happened there. But like you guys said, yeah, he was 8-8. That was Darren McFadden's best year.
Yeah, and McFadden was, he's an was good.
He's a, great a lot of people think Hugh Jackson's a great offensive mind because you saw Andy Dalton had arguably the best year of his career was this year, I would think, with Hugh Jackson as his O coordinator.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why a lot of people gave the Bengals such a good shot in the playoffs, even with McCarron, because of Hugh Jackson in a way.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, I think Cleveland's got to let him ride it out, and I think a lot of teams make mistakes. You see it with every single sport, though. It's like that.
Yep.
Every single sport. I think basketball and football the most so. Baseball, a manager, who knows how much he could really,
yeah,
you know, but I think you have to let a coach ride it out a little bit.
You do. You
like
do.
Like McAdoo. You got to give McAdoo a couple of years.
Yeah,
you got to see what the McAdoo does.
I don't like that hiring, but that's kind of a different point. You do like it?
We're talking about McAdoo, right?
Yeah, McAdoo.
For what was out there, I like it. Because the way I thought of it, and I kept saying this all the time, you want to hire the best available head coach, right? For in terms of the Giants' perspective?
Which
was Tom Coughlin, obviously, but they're not going to hire Tom Coughlin.
No.
So I thought the next best thing was Ben McAdoo. And especially because Eli Manning being 34, 35, I think this is the time where you listen to your franchise player and ask, who do you want?
I think that's the only thing keeping it from being a bad hire. I think it's an okay hire. I don't love it, though.
No, that's why I like it, though.
The guy I wanted, they didn't. I'm going to see if you can figure this out. There's a guy I wanted who was on the market
Giants.
Harbaugh was my idea.
For the Giants?
For the Giants, who they did not even interview, but he was a head coach who has been to a Super Bowl and he was on the market.
On the market?
Yeah.
And they for this, right now.
And they didn't interview him.
Let me think.
What are you talking about?
This is who I wanted. And no
a
one
guy who's
where
won
he,
a Super
give
Bowl.
Give me the conference no, he used no, to coach
been,
before.
Been to a Super
give
Bowl.
Give me the conference he coached
NFC.
Before. NFC.
NFC coach was on the market.
John Gruden?
No.
Not Gruden.
No, that's a good guess, though.
I'm trying.
He fits the criteria.
You're not saying Peyton. You're not going with Peyton,
No.
Right?
Yeah. He wasn't on the market. And they didn't interview him.
Who are you talking about?
So he wasn't even coaching.
Right,
he wasn't even coaching as like a coordinator.
No. He was a coach. He was a coach, but he was let go. He was on the market.
He was a head coach.
He was a head coach.
He went to a Super Bowl.
He's been to a Super Bowl.
Who are you talking about?
Let me think. Wait. I got to get a second here to
when I say right,
get my bearings.
When was the last time the Super Bowl? What decade? This past decade?
It was about 8 or 9 years ago. Well, now I'm giving it away.
Well, you're not. Well, I'm just. You didn't have to say half a year. I'm saying like in the 2000s or
yeah, in the 2000s, mid
2000s, 8 or 9.
Who are you thinking?
Is Mike Holmgren?
No, he's not on the market.
You're gonna kick yourself when I tell you.
Who are you talking about right now?
I'm gonna say it again. He was an NFC coach. He was coaching in 2015. He was fired, so he was let go. He was available. He's been to a Super Bowl. He did not interview with the Giants.
Who
I don't know if he interviewed
this
anywhere
year?
Else.
Who got fired?
Lovie Smith.
Thank you, Jake.
There you go. Lovie Smith. You're right.
I like Lovie Smith as a coach, right? Yeah, that's
no,
not...
He's a good coach.
I wanted Lovie Smith.
I think it was unfair Tampa got rid of him.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they went, what, 7-9?
Yeah, and his team took the Bears to the Super Bowl. The Rex Grossman Bears to a Super Bowl.
And now he finally has a franchise quarterback in Jameis to build a team around, and you let him go?
Yeah.
I don't agree with that.
And even, people don't remember this, but he was also the defensive coordinator for the greatest show on turf.
I think
with the St. Louis Rams.
Was he the head coach?
He was the defensive coordinator for the Mike Martz team.
Oh, defensive. Okay.
Yeah. So they're known for their offense, but he still won a Super Bowl as a defensive coordinator.
Wow. That's a great call, Anthony. You're right. That's a great call. He's never had a quarterback because, I mean, he got pushed out only a couple years after Cutler got there.
Yeah.
And I've never been a Cutler believer.
I mean,
that's not the point.
Yeah.
But still, Rex Grossman, that's like still like taking. Taking a Rex Grossman to the Super Bowl.
He's a defensive genius, Lovie Smith.
He's
a good head coach.
Well, they were known for those Bears defenses were unbelievable. But who did they have on offense? I knew they had Devin Hester in the kicking game.
He didn't even play offense. He was just the kick returner.
Yeah, exactly. He was the kick returner.
He was a fourth-string receiver.
But who did they have on offense for those teams?
I mean, they had what's-his-face. Thomas Jones was the running back.
Yeah, Thomas Jones
was the running back. Who I thought was a great running back at that time. I think he was great, Thomas Jones.
He did have success, but... No, to me, I mean, I would have hired Lovie Smith or at least given him a shot at the job. And if they really wanted to, if Lovie Smith didn't even want to change the offense, maybe you even keep McAdoo on. But defensively, there was changes that needed to be made.
I could have made the argument, honestly, too, for Mike Smith in a way. I mean, he had a lot of success in Atlanta. And Mike Smith, in the way they did compare it, I'm kind of following off of a sports writer here. a lot of comparisons with him and Tom Coughlin.
Yeah.
Had great regular season success with a quarterback in the previous team. He just needs a change of scenery with a better culture.
We're actually, we have a call in here. Michael Graziano, one of the frequent callers on this show.
Can you hear him?
I can't hear it. You're going to have to repeat his
question. I'm just going to have to repeat what you say, Graz. But we're actually talking about the Giants head coaching position. And Anthony was saying that he thought they should have interviewed Lovie Smith. What were your thoughts on the Giants head coaching decision? Graz, hello.
You got the phone thing up?
Yeah.
Yo.
All right, well, we're working on getting him on the air. I can hear
him
through
the phone.
Yeah.
I don't hear him on.
Yeah, hold
on
a second.
We're trying to put him through.
We're trying to put you through.
That's a good point, though. They did not, they in terms of that rule, the rule they have to do interviewing at least one African-American candidate, they did Terrell Austin, the D coordinator for the Lions.
Yeah.
Lovie Smith, that's a good point, actually.
And to me, it has nothing to do with the Rooney rule, but anyway.
We'll try this again. Graz?
Super Bowl head coach.
Michael? Oh.
Well,
yeah. Hello, Mike. Yeah, sorry. That was my bad. Phone wasn't on.
That's fine. They didn't want to spend money on the head coach. They wanted to do something low-key, and they didn't want to lose McAdoo.
Yeah. He said they didn't want to spend money on the head coach.
They haven't released the details of McAdoo's per year. Anyway, they haven't.
No, they haven't.
Yeah.
Under 3 or 4 year deal, I think.
I don't believe that, though.
How much
would Lovie Smith
He says they wanted Cowher.
No, I don't know.
Cowher didn't want to coach them. Cowher didn't want to coach.
Yeah.
He hasn't coached in over 10 years. That takes a lot to go back.
So your pick, Graz, would have been Bill Cowher as head coach of the New York Giants.
I had
a great theory.
Anthony was talking. He thinks Bill Cowher is an overrated head coach.
No, Jake thinks he's overrated.
Jake thinks he's overrated. So we have two people here who think last two Steelers head coaches are overrated.
Every single point. We're agreeing to disagree on every point.
Yep.
What do you think? So you thought Cowher was your first choice, but I think he's pretty content with the TV game.
I think it's been too long to get back into football. Because, I mean,
3 years ago.
That's
three
a job,
years
head
ago.
Coach of the NFL. That's the hardest
three
coaching
years
job
ago.
In sports.
Yeah, what were you saying, Grass?
It's up there.
3 years ago, Bill Cowher said that if he were to come back to coaching, he would coach three
plus
teams. And one of those three teams in the New York Giants.
Yes, I think he's looking nice.
Grass said 3 years ago, Cowher said he would come back and coach three teams, and one of the teams was the New York Giants.
Yeah.
I feel like you at least bark up that tree to see if he would be interested.
He's
just such a pedigree.
They may have tried.
I don't think they did, personally. That's just me, though. I don't think Mara was calling Cowher. I just think the way Cowher, he's been out of the game for so long, I don't think Mara would have wanted to hire a guy who's been out of the game that long.
Yeah. He's got that nice, cushy job with CBS, and he does well at it.
Yeah.
He probably gets paid a couple million to do that, and why would he want to go back to coaching in a way?
Exactly. So what are you saying, Graz? We'll let you speak now.
Oh, here's a quick update. Here's more of a Giants update. Connected with your Boston College radio show, Bill McGovern, former Boston College coach, is now joining the Giants, too.
Bill McGovern's going to the Giants. I didn't know this.
Former Boston College defensive coordinator.
Yeah, that's what. Oh, I thought he was offensive coordinator.
No, because he's the defensive line coach.
Oh, he was
linebacker coach.
Linebacker.
Oh, I'm sorry, my mistake. Yeah.
The Pats.
But he's from New England.
Yeah.
The Pats, right?
He was the Pats.
No, he was with the Eagles.
He was with the Eagles. He was not with the Pats.
No.
Yeah, he was with the Eagles. He went with Chip Kelly.
He's
really?
Friends with
I
my uncle. I know the answer.
We'll figure it out.
Cross just said he's friends with his uncle, so he knows the answer.
Of course.
So, yeah, you know everybody. But any other takes, Cross, before we let you go?
No, that's the only take I wanted to just say.
All right. Well, I'll catch you later, my friend. Great
Absolutely.
Call. See you later.
No problem.
Thanks, Cross.
Good job with the show. Proud of you all.
Oh. Fan favorite on any sports radio station, Michael Graziano.
Yep, from WFAN to WZBC.
Yeah,
and everything in between.
Could you imagine him like Mike and the Mad Dog, and Graz becomes the new Mad Dog?
Yeah, that, you know, I would probably quit whatever job I have just to listen to him every afternoon.
Yeah. 1-6, those two go at it.
Yeah. I made this offer, if we're talking about the Giants search. I don't know if I told you about this. I was telling this for Graz. If I was Mara, I would have called up Harbaugh immediately.
Which Harbaugh?
Jim. I mean, you see what he's doing at Michigan right now. He wants to do spring practices in Florida, like an NFL team away from the college. He doesn't want to be on campus when he's not coaching.
Yeah.
And a lot of colleges want to encourage their coach to stay on campus, you know, because...
he's a pro coach. He's a pro coach in the college game.
I think if you call up Harbaugh and you say, hey, I'm willing, you know, I'm willing to pay you. You have Eli Manning and Odell Beckham. Better offense than you did in San Fran. You're an offensive guy. You see how you turned around San Fran and went to 3 straight NFC championships after what they were the years before he came there. And you don't think Jim Harbaugh would have done a great job in New York? I think he would have done a phenomenal job.
Yeah, well, I think it's something you definitely consider just because of how well he did in San Fran with Kaepernick as quarterback, and after we see how bad he's been without Harbaugh.
It's that and the fact that how he turned around. What was San Fran? 7-9, 6-10 with Singletary the year before Harbaugh came in?
Yeah, they were down. That's for sure.
They were
on the
down
record.
And immediately went to a what? 12-4.
Both those Harbaughs are great coaches. Yeah. I mean, they demand perfection from their teams.
John would have been the better fit with the Giants, but he was not going to get out of Baltimore.
Oh, no.
One bad year wasn't going
to
do it.
No, well, I mean, for him, it's going to take a lot for, I think, them to even consider replacing him as
a
coach.
But he's the more Giants-type coach. He's more buttoned up and serious and, you know,
Jim's kind of
out of the limelight.
Guy.
Jim's the wild guy. I don't think the Giants would go for a guy like that.
I think if Mara would some reason just get that giant Nate like thing out of his head, you know, you need to hire a giant guy.
Yeah.
Because that hurts a lot of candidates, I think, for the Giants. Because the way Mara's and Tish like to conduct who they want to coach.
Yeah. Then again,
they're not going to hire anyone.
Yeah, well, that being said, I think it's like a whole new animal, I think, coaching in New York and those big markets. And you see guys like the Jets, when they tried to bring in Ryan, it was good initially, but guys like them, just like they don't pan out.
No, I think Rex did a good job in New York.
You do?
I do. I think he was a little bit with the way that
I think he's a good coach.
The way Idzik managed, you know, personnel changes on that Jet team for Rex's last couple of years. I think
that's true.
I think it wasn't a fair shot for Rex.
That's true.
You saw what he did with Mark Sanchez, and their defense was always good with Rex.
Yeah, that's true.
He just and then Sanchez's collapse had to do with because Rex. I think if he gave Rex a good enough O coordinator to work with and some good enough... Like, I think Rex with this Jet team, I think they would have been just as good, if not better.
I don't know.
I think so.
It's
the players liked him.
That's true.
Yeah, but that's not the whole
What
battle.
Did you guys think about... I think if there was one team this whatever...
Rex never had that many good offensive weapons on his team, even with those early Sanchez
that's true.
Years. I mean, he had Marshall, Decker, Chris Ivory in that run game. He's not that good of a...
Well, I mean, it was an underrated offense this year with the exception of Fitzpatrick. I thought they had a very good offensive line, I think.
The best receiving core in football with those two 1-2 receivers.
Give credit to McCagnon, the new GM who came in and immediately swung a miracle trade for Marshall. They got Brandon Marshall for a fifth-round pick.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And he's one of the best. He's a top 10 or 15
receiver. Well, it just shows in those, like, desperate... Sometimes teams get really desperate to unload contracts or just want to start new. The Patriots got Randy Moss for a fourth rounder from Oakland. Yeah, it's just those types of deals. Like one team gets it and it's like Christmas morning.
Only thing I have to say, I heard about McCagnon however you pronounce the name, is that Grievous contract is not a good contract by any means.
No. Well, to me,
$40 million guaranteed to a 31-year-old cornerback.
Revis,
all Revis's decline this year.
Well, I mean, to me, Revis is always the type of player that I think he's like a good skill set, but I don't think he's never going to be worth the money just for the fact that
I think he was though. I think he's just done. I think he's just now too old.
He's not done.
I mean, you saw the year he had. He blew that.
He wasn't that
game.
Bad. No, I don't think he blew that game.
He wasn't.
He was nowhere Revis-like, I think, as he...
I think the drop-off between last year with New England and this year was a tremendous drop-off.
No, it's not a good contract, I agree, but I think everyone...
Well, I think giving a guy like that, he's like a gun for hire, though. Like, you give Revis that type of contract, I don't think he's the type of player who's got the competitive spirit to really put it all in.
Cornerback in football the last
year
or so.
But
when he has something to prove for, I think.
He was with the Jets, like when he was Revis Island.
Yeah.
I think he was the best corner.
But cornerback's a weird position, though, because for some reason, more than other positions other than quarterback, everyone like is always wanting to anoint who's the new best cornerback.
It was the second highest paid position.
But it went
to Sherman.
Like no, it went from no, hold on, hear me out. It was Revis. It was Revis had a stranglehold on that title or whatever. But it went to Sherman after like half a season. Now Norman. Now Josh Norton. No, it went to him before that. Then Norman had. He had after like 10 games this year, everyone's like he's the best cornerback in football. Where are people getting this from?
I think you got to look at
the whole body of work.
Seen in Cleveland, I always think
Hayden's very good.
Seen in Cleveland, though,
but I think if you look at the whole
then
body
you have
of work,
Charles Woodson. I think if we're talking about like just duration, like who's been able to keep it,
I think you have to factor that in. And Revis, you know, Woodson's certainly there too. But Revis is a Hall of Famer. Josh Norman, even Sherman, they're not Hall of Famers yet.
No,
I
got to
see more of it. I still have a ton of respect for Revis.
Yeah, I have a respect for him too. But as I said, he's that type of player, and I even see it after losses. Like he's just la-di-da. He'll shake hands with the guy. Even after a terrible loss, he's got like a huge smile on his face. And like I hate to, he cares about the money. Is my thing. Is that's why I think the Patriots. I thought they were smart in the Revis deal, making it a 1 or 2 year deal because it meant he had to play for something.
They look good now.
They had to play for something. And I hate the idea of giving a Revis a long-term deal.
Yeah, not signing Revis and letting Malcolm be their number one. They look great.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially, I mean it's unbelievable.
Doubts, it
oh, yeah, me too. I thought their secondary was going to be really bad this year. And, I mean, it wasn't fantastic.
I thought Malcolm was overrated. I thought, I mean, what was he, the fifth on that?
Last year, he was fourth or fifth. They had Revis, Browner.
I think Tremaine McBride did it as a Giants
reference. Well, I think they knew what they had. They had Revis, Browner, Arrington, Logan Ryan, and Butler.
Yep.
Arrington got torched in that game, and then they brought Butler in the second half. And he made some plays. I mean, he really broke that one up to Lockett down the sideline. That was just a fluke play.
Right.
But yeah, I think they look really good after that one. But I agree with you, Anthony. It's always like a revolving door as who's the best
cornerback in particular.
Yeah,
like you don't really hear it at running back that much. Or things
second
like that.
Highest paid position in football.
Well,
I
thought wouldn't left tackle
defensive end is up there.
Left tackle's usually up there.
Not per year though.
Well, regardless, I mean,
that's
what
I mean, like the biggest cap hits on teams are quarterback, defensive end, cornerback.
Be that as it may,
yeah.
I just don't see why we have to be anointing a new best cornerback every 3 weeks.
Yeah, I agree. Because, I mean, it's...
If you had to pick one now, who would it be last?
One for... So am I taking into account age? So, like, for the 2016 season, I can have one cornerback?
Well, like, if you had to...
Yeah, because I think...
Best
cornerback
in football.
I understand what Anthony's saying, though. Do you want... Is he choosing, like, a franchise corner, a guy he's going to have for the next 5 or 10 years, or the guy he's going to have for 1 year? And I think a lot of factors
well, who would
going.
You pick for 1 year now, though, anyway.
Yeah, we also have a one quick note. We have a tweet at us from TJ Hartnett, one of our friends, who says, "Remember when Namdi Asamoah was the number one cornerback? Revolving door analogy was spot on." So, yeah, thanks TJ for the tweet, and he's right. I mean, Asamoah was supposed to be like the next great thing when he got to the Eagles, and was horrible on that supposed dream team. It's a great point.
That is true.
And then you had I remember the Patriots, and then he went to the Eagles. Asante Samuel, he petered out, and then he ended up at the Falcons, and he played terribly. It's just so many guys. So I think if I were to have 1 year where we're at right now, I'd probably go Norman.
1 year?
Yeah.
I'd take Sherman for 1 year.
I was going to say I'd take Sherman long-term if I had to pick somebody.
Long-term, I might take even Marcus Peters if you want to throw his name in the mix.
Oh, Peters.
Defensive rookie of the year, maybe?
Yeah.
How about that? I don't know.
I go Joe Hayden. I think he's being in Cleveland has hurt him so much.
Yeah.
I think he's such a great corner.
Yeah, that's true. When you're on the Cleveland Browns, you're going to get overlooked.
I mean, put Joe Hayden on an actual good team, and then he'll be the star like Richard Sherman is or Josh Norman is.
Yeah, I do think Sherman's a little overrated, but that being said, I still think he's very good. He's physical, and I think his mantra sort of gets in the head of the players that he's playing against. And I think you can build a defense around him, I think he's a leader, and he's a smart guy. But I was going to ask you guys about the Giants position.
Sure.
Do you think that there was any effort? Do you think they even considered trying to take Belichick away? I heard this brought up. If there was one team I think you would go to, he would go to the New York Giants.
He's very fond of the Giants.
You see that NFL...
the NFL films.
The NFL films. He was crying about his time with the Giants.
He started with them. He's a Parcells boy. Right.
But even just starting with... He had some great years there, and
yeah, he did.
I think if he wasn't so far down the line in his Patriots tenure, yeah. like say this was 2006 and the Giants needed a coach,
maybe
might have gone there.
It's not that.
And if I were the Giants, you would at least make a call. You would at least do something. I think
if Brady didn't have as much time as Brady does,
right?
Belichick would have been thinking, all right, I got Eli for another 4 or 5 years.
Exactly.
If Brady only had, because Brady still has 3 years, I think.
Yeah.
He doesn't get probably. Hurt. He doesn't get. I mean, I won't say that really, but
if. Yeah, I agree with you. If like, Brady's performance was Peyton Manning-esque
right now, like where it's only 1 year left.
Yeah, I think he would have wanted out a little bit more. I think that's a very good point. I agree with you 100% on that one.
Yeah, because when you think about when you're thinking about owners, great owners in the NFL, the two highest in regard because of the recent history are Bob Kraft and Mara.
Rooney's up there.
Rooney too, but I'm saying they're settled. But in terms of, because there's only a select, and Belichick respects the hell out of the Giants.
Oh, definitely.
It's the only organization he really does respect a lot.
All right, last few minutes here. We got a call about the Belichick to the Giants. What are we thinking? Hello? Caller? I hear you.
Great.
Who is it?
Yeah, oh, there it is.
These guys, I'm a big fan of Sports Saturday, WZBC Sports. They're great.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
In regards to Belichick, I think he stays with the Patriots until the end of Brady's career. Maybe stays another year with Garoppolo.
Yeah.
I'm leaving.
Breaking up a little bit, but I think I got his major point here, which was similar to what you guys were saying, that Belichick is going to stay in New England. At least until Brady's done.
I think they're both gone at the same time.
You think they're gone at the same time?
I think they will be. Because I think Belichick, I mean, I don't think he's going to want to coach past 70. Because he'll be 70.
No, he's only 60, what?
He's 64.
Oh, 64.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think he's going to want to coach past 70. And he won't know if Garoppolo's in the wing for as long as he will be. Who knows how much longer Garoppolo will want to be.
Well, that's or how good he even is.
That's what I'm saying. If he doesn't think Garoppolo will be that good after a first, he's going to get out of there.
Yeah.
He's not going to tarnish.
I don't,
he's
like,
smart enough to not tarnish any sort of bumpy years.
Yeah, my thing in there, though, is just like, Belichick is
I think
you watch those NFL film. This is his like life. I think, and he even said there, he's like, I'll be coaching into my 70s. You don't have to worry about that. Okay. It's just the question is that in New England?
Dream scenario: McAdoo flames out as Giants coach after 3 years.
No, don't say that. Don't say that.
Listen to me. So you suffer for 3 years. Belichick on his deathbed.
Belichick comes to the Giants at 67. And I mean, resurrects the franchise.
And you have Eli at how old?
No,
at that
new,
point?
You got to draft a new quarterback.
You got to draft a new quarterback. Okay,
all right, yeah, this won't work. But anyway,
so who do you have it?
You're hating on. You,
I'm kidding. Yeah,
you have John Fadula coming in there.
John Fadula. Maybe we'll bring in Tyler Murphy from the Steelers, converted back to quarterback. Maybe a little Jeff Smith coming out of Boston College.
Yeah,
I don't think you're giving McAdoo a fair shot, Anthony.
You might be right.
A lot of people hate on McAdoo because like his little personality, like a little. Quiet, weird-looking, non-football.
First of all,
can
he find a suit that fits him?
He doesn't like wearing suits. He likes wearing sweatpants.
I don't give me that. He showed up in that press conference and looked like a bum.
you gotta Google this if you haven't seen it. People say that too, but Bill Belichick, if anyone, is the worst personality in football, probably.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a terrible. You have, right? He's a terrible personality. But
he's terrible. If you're in the press,
he's a terrible personality. Does he dress well? No, he doesn't dress that well. He dresses like a bum on the sideline with those ripped sweatshirts and the hood over his head.
Is this it? Is this what we're talking
about?
Look
how big his suit is. I can't tell in that
picture. The neck room in the collar was absurd. It was like a 3-inch. It was like 3 inches.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. My point is, though,
this is like he threw something on 5 minutes before
the last time he wore that suit. Was 60 pounds ago.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
He didn't want to go out and buy a suit for a giant press conference.
I mean, forget the stuff about the suit, because really that's not that important. No, I do have doubts. You're right. Because as well as Eli has played under him, I think McAdoo has been overrated as an offensive coordinator. They don't. Yes, their offense has all the, you know, their number eight, whatever measures people want to use.
Yeah,
but they've been really, really bad in the red zone, and that's cost them games. You know how many games that cost them this year?
A lot of that has to do with Coughlin does make the final call, and there's been a lot of times Coughlin's overruled McAdoo plays. He said that a lot.
That's fine, but
McAdoo wanted to kick the field goal.
Forget decisions, just efficiency and scoring points. I think in the red zone, they've been really bad at turning points, you know, turning drives into touchdowns. They settle for field goals way too much, and I think that cost them at least three games this year.
Well, all I say about it is, and you agree with my point too, at this, you listen to your franchise
That's
player.
That's fine. And actually, I have one more point about McAdoo. This the running back by committee approach of this year, which was just
That was Coughlin's call, though, not McAdoo.
Are you sure?
Yep. Coughlin wanted the running back committee. Andre Williams, McAdoo did not want Andre Williams playing. Coughlin's the only reason why Andre Williams ever got touched.
So you're saying that this year Andre Williams has no role in the Giants?
I don't think he will. Okay. I think the best approach would be a Rashad Vereen. That's it. Not one of two back.
I think Dark was fine as a goal line back.
I think Rashad should be your goal line back, if anything.
No, I think you got to limit Jennings is his character. He's prone to injury. I think Darkwood would be fine on the goal line.
I think you stick with three running backs, too many touches for a guy to get in rhythm. Because you saw when Jennings got touches, he got into a rhythm.
I think three is fine if they have clearly defined roles. First and second down, Jennings. Third down, Vereen. Goal line, Darkwa. They have defined roles. I think it's fine.
When you
think
about it like that,
As much as I loved Williams when he was here, and you know, no disrespect to Andre.
Not a good running back.
He's got to improve, but he wants to get those carries.
He runs into his line.
He also can't catch, really.
And not catch.
That's a skill.
He can't block for a guy.
You have to be able to do all three of those things in the modern day NFL to be. That's why Vereen, to my eyes, is so valuable. He can do any of those three things. I mean, he can do those three.
He's just as good as a receiver.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's when you look at the Pat stats, is that's why they since really Corey Dillon, they haven't had a fantastic running back, but they get value out of their running backs in the fact
Green
that they can
great.
Do wheel routes.
Green
yeah,
was great on the Pats.
Yeah,
yep.
I mean, how many yards did he have in that playoff in the Super last year?
10 catches or something.
He had 10 catches, probably 70 yards or so.
Yeah, for a running back, that's a great game.
Yeah, it's a very good game. Not sure Robin's in yet, but we are at the 3 o'clock hour here at WZBC Newton 90.3 FM in the Boston area. You're listening to Sports Saturday. We're going to keep going here until Robin comes in, but it's been great talking with you. We won't do Super Bowl predictions this week. I think that's more of a next week thing.
Fair enough.
We don't have the opportunity.
Oh, yeah. We're not on next week.
I won't be on.
I think I may be.
You might be?
I might be there. I might be.
On the schedule, it's Landon, Chase, Schaub, and then the last spot was either you, Jake, or Casey.
Or
Casey
me.
Made a joke about backing out because the
Casey was the one who just called in. Yeah,
oh, that was Casey.
Yeah,
I don't
okay.
Because I remember I
had to back out.
I thought I remember filling out Super Bowl weekend, but then I didn't see my name, so I don't. I haven't checked it in a while.
Yeah.
Well, we'll figure it out.
At least me and Anthony. Me and Anthony can make picks. Then we'll make a pick. I think it's going
to
be. I think the Panthers will win. Yeah.
Give me.
38-24 Panthers.
That high scoring.
Yeah. I think the Panthers will do it, and I think that they'll be able to run a little bit.
Carolina, 31-16.
31-16.
Going high. I think it's good.
16 for Denver? That's not
no,
that. That's
well,
about 30, normal.
I'm saying Carolina putting up that many points.
Look at.
I think Denver's defense is that good enough to hold Carolina, and I think Denver, and this is what they were saying on Francesa for me and Anthony, our fan lovers.
Yeah.
But Francesa was making the argument Von Miller is arguably the best defensive player in football now. He is. I mean, you see the difference he makes on the entire team. And that was the argument with people saying J.J. Watt is the best defensive player in football.